We was going down a gravel road, going to a cutover. I had a young guy with me. We go over a hill and the game warden passes. And I'm like, oh, we are in the clear.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and like for him to be out of here.
Yeah. And he said, what do you mean? I was like, well, we know where he's at now. They ain't but one of them in this county. We get to the stop sign. We turn left, go up through there. And I look and I see a deer. And I'm like, oh, there's your buck right there. We go down to the church, turn around, and I pick up my rifle and hand it to him. He leans across me going to shoot. So I'm sitting there and I'm like, shoot. Shoot. He said, I can't see it. The sun's on it. Sun was gleaming on it just perfect.
Yeah, making it look real good, didn't it?
I turn and look, and I realize that deer hadn't moved. And when I realized the deer hadn't moved, I said, it's fake. And I grabbed the barrel. When I grabbed the barrel, he pulled the trigger.
Oh.
Boom. No. Egg gum. So I throw the gun back, throw it in reverse. And I heard he was close enough that I heard him shut the door. I get turned around. It was a big mess. He's guns blazing, you know. It was a big mess. Of course, I'm paralyzed at this time. He walks up. I tell him I can't get out of the truck. You know, he's upset about that too. Like, what do you mean? How did you get in there? What do you mean? What do you? I'm just jumping.
It just
in
took
here.
A little effort.
Yeah. What are you talking about? He reads me my rights, and I said, "When did this become a killing offense?" He said, "Do you want to go to jail?" I said, "I don't know. No, not really."
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Hayden Outbound Podcast. We're Southern Storytellers. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
I'm Bradley.
I'm Chris.
Winfield, Alabama.
Yeah.
Yeah, we in the house.
We home of Mule Day.
And the Cardinal Diner.
And the Cardinal Drive-In. Yeah, that's yeah. right.
Which we would have stopped at if we weren't running late today. Yeah,
that's right.
It's not my fault.
Entirely. I'm glad I was the first one here.
Were you really?
He beat me here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I told you I was going to be a lot later than we were.
Mm-hmm.
It worked out fine.
Well, we're going to tell some stories today. We've got a great scripture time today, and we have
something neat.
I hope they're
I call it mysterious.
Mysterious.
This will be two weeks in a row of something neat, and Shane has brought that for us.
So graciously.
Keeping secrets.
I got to keep it quiet.
This is our cliffhanger. You got to hang in there to see the something neat, or fast forward it, whatever
you want. Yeah, one or the other.
Let's get to telling some stories.
One day, me and Greg, we were going to go hunting on another guy's property that was friends of ours, and he couldn't go. So it was just me and Greg going, and we were like, okay, you know, we'll just me and him will go. And so we walked off down the best place in that area to get the squirrels. It was a little creek bottom, just full of tall oak trees, you know, and plenty of acorns and all for the wildlife. And we slipped off down in there. And of course we had our vest on with the pouch in the back you fill it up with squirrels, mm-hmm. you know. Well, we're sitting there and I'm leaned up against a tree and he's down there down the creek a little ways. I could see him leaned against a tree. And all of a sudden I saw him start making all kinds of movements, you know. He was just flopping his arms and doing stuff. And I'm like, is it bees?
Yeah.
Is he sitting on top of some yellow jackets or something, you know? What's going on? And, man, he's flopping around. And I keep looking and keep looking, and he's starting to holler, you know, making all kind of crazy noises. And I'm like, what in the world is going on? And I get to looking, and there's a squirrel that's come out of that bag that's crawling up on him. And he's fighting that squirrel. I mean, it's like if he, in his mind, if that squirrel gets too far, my jugular's gone, you know? I mean, that's
where he's at.
That was the white of his eyes were showing, you know. Mm-hmm. He was fighting that squirrel. And all I could do was laugh. I could not run down there and help him because I was laughing so hard I couldn't run. And it was just such a funny sight to see. And he kept fighting that squirrel. And so finally he gets that thing slung off of him. It goes bouncing through the leaves. He grabs his gun and he shoots that thing again.
Point blank.
We had a dead squirrel and somebody was going to have to do a lot of picking a lead out of it. But but that's just, you know, when you think of something funny to see is a man fighting a squirrel. Fighting it for his life against a squirrel.
Those teeth are legit, though.
Those are legit teeth.
He was missing one thing. A Louisville Slugger.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, if Andrew would have been there.
Andrew would have handled it differently.
You would have had the squirrel meat.
Yeah. And yeah, I know y'all are a little, y'all aren't privy to this, but we just heard a squirrel story on the previous.
Yeah, it's not aired yet. That's coming out this Tuesday. Yeah.
You talking about Conway?
No, this is unaired. Okay. No one has heard this but the four people that were in the room.
Mm-hmm.
But on Tuesday, you'll get to hear it.
Tuesday, we'll hear it.
With a Louisville Slugger.
More of those cliffhangers, huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I love a good squirrel story.
Well, that was a good one.
It was, say, that one, yours covered a pretty good part of your day, and mine covered
just a few moments
of hilariousness.
That is a great lesson about story. Story is really just a few moments.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
It's really just a short span of
time. A little blip, if you will. And I think I would like to see Philip fight a squirrel.
Yeah, I think so, too.
With my hands behind my back?
Yeah.
No. You can have your hands. I mean, I don't care what you use. I would like to see.
When we got grown and, you know, later on in years, I talked to Greg about that, and he just shakes his head.
Did he have any counseling after that or no?
He didn't get any counseling, but he probably needed it. It was
I guarantee you he's got a different outlook on squirrels.
I remember the teaching of my great grandfather about squirrels when I first started hunting. He said, "Boy, don't ever pick one up if its eyes is closed."
That's it.
Yeah.
You'll regret it if you do.
If you shoot a deer and you walk up on it and his eyes are closed, don't touch that deer. Put another one in him.
That's free advice.
Yeah.
But it'll hurt it here first.
Yeah.
Or second. Because old buddy from center told us about his deer story.
He had a doe that taught him.
Waylaid him.
Yeah.
Right in the nose.
He said he ain't been hit by nothing that hard.
I've heard some dog hunting stories about bucks and deer with their eyes closed. Like, they're my dad's stories, but I've heard some of them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that mess crazy stuff, you know.
Well, tell us another one, Brad.
This guy was wanting a greenfield cut. I got a mulcher. A disc mulcher.
Yeah, I see where you messed up already.
Yeah. So... I crunk it up. What happened? So I get on this skid steer, and as you can tell, like the previous story, it ain't like I can just get out and walk off, you know. So I'm in there, and getting the skid steer, I go down there and I cut his greenfield. He said, "Man, I really want access from the backside of that shooting house." Man, that ain't no problem. I cut whatever you want.
Mm-hmm. Your dollar.
It ain't rained in a minute. John Mark wanted it. Mine and. Y'all met him, John Mark, at WTF last year, right?
So, he's the one that came and picked up the four-wheeler at that time. We ate supper with Dylan.
Yeah, that sure is.
I remember that.
Yep. So John Mark's wanting this cut back in there, and I'm like, man, I got it. I go off the hill, I'm cutting, we're good. I come up to a street. It ain't rained in a hot minute at this point. I come up to a little stream. I mean, this stream ain't this wide. It's got very little water in it. Well, I've got that mulcher on, and I've raised it up over top of my head like this. And I'm looking down at the front of the tracks, waiting to see if mud mushes out in front of it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because I thought that's what superhero operators would do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm listening.
Well, I moved that thing about an inch, and we went from setting upright to my face was in the dirt. And that mulcher was still on.
Wow.
And I have zero balance. Like, if you push me right now, I'm going to fall. And I'm laying up on, like, face in the windshield. Mm. Yeah. And the mulcher's on, throwing mud back. Scary time.
Thank the Lord for a windshield.
Yes. Scary, scary time. So I reach over and hit the joystick, put it down, set me back up, still slinging mud. Don't know what's going on. Kind of disoriented because I've just got the snot knocked out of me.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And I'm thinking, oh, no. We've got a prop. So I get the mulcher turned off. I'm going to try to pick it up and push it out. That ain't going to happen. We're spinning down. It's pretty serious. Like when you see the pictures, it's pretty serious to me anyway. So I call an operator friend. He's one of them superheroes. Drew Hunsinger. He's the one right there.
Mm-hmm.
So he's giving me instructions on what I need to do to get it out. Get a chain, and it's me that can't do nothing. John Mark, his nephew, which is 14.
Also can't do nothing.
Yeah. And my oldest son, which is 14, who also can't do nothing.
Yeah, three can't do nothing here.
So John Mark's putting out.
So it's on John Mark.
It's on John Mark. And we're coming up with ideas, and all of our ideas are not good. Not good at all. We finally get a chain up high on a tree, and after like 2.5 hours, we get it pulled out. Forward. I still got to come back this way, I thought. I go to cut in. I'm going to go on into his shooting house. We ain't going that way. I've got out on an island now. So I thought, I'll turn and go up the hill. So as I go up the hill, I start sinking and didn't know it because there's water running out from underneath me. John Mark's calling me. He's like, I pick up, yelling, stop. I look in the reverse camera, you know, and he's, stop, being real animated. Water's running out from under this dude. Like, we've got a problem, you know. So anyways, I get backed out. We cut a couple trees, lay it down the hole, and we go back out. By this time, we're probably 4 hours deep into this. Like, we've been there for a minute, stuck. Like you said, 5 minutes of your time. Like, this is just a clip of my life.
Yeah.
But
it's like it takes forever.
Yes. To go across those trees, pretty as you please. A spot that I had already come through, I didn't know the ground would do this.
Oh, yeah. But it'll leave there.
Yes. They had no clue. I come through there, and it blew dust up. I remember seeing it when I went between two trees. Well, the only spot that I can go is back through there. And there's water standing there now. I had no clue. Like, it was wild. I tell John Mark, I said, I can't go through that. He's like, well, what else are we going to do? I said, I don't know, but why can't you go through there? I'm like, dude, there wasn't no water right there when I come through before.
It's called breaking the surface tension, if you ever.
Well, we broke.
That's a superhero.
Yeah, superhero. Yeah.
Man.
I'm going to get your number asked you next time.
Shane, he's real pro.
Shane knows some stuff, sound like.
I fact check some things.
He fact checked.
I'm not a superhero operator.
But you knew you didn't go back through there.
You don't want to break the surface tension.
There you go.
Now you don't want to do that.
Come on.
So we go back through the broken surface tension, and I sunk. Straight down. No tree to hook to in front of us. We are there. Like, it's hot. I ain't had a drink in a minute. So I asked the kids that's done been to the truck one time, go up there and get me one of them waters and bring it back down here. It's like a half a mile or further back to the truck. They've drunk all the water. Yeah. Anyways, so I wound up calling somebody and they come and got me, but
the record service.
Matter of fact, I went and preached at this fella's church, okay, like 5 years ago. I didn't even still have his number. And I just remembered that in the same town that he told me he had equipment. So I called him. And the man of God that he is, man, he saved me because he's like, he had just had a nerve block on his back. And he said, man, I can't really do a whole lot. I said, well, can't do a whole lot.
Yeah, I got three of those.
Four things, yeah.
So I said, but if you'll come down here, I'll get them to help you. So he drove his backhoe down there and pulled me out, you know. But while I was sitting there, I done a lot of contemplating and a lot of praying. The kids was asleep. I don't know how, but they had done laid down, went to sleep down this bottom. But I had the machine running trying to cool off just a little bit because there was no air in that thing, like no circulating air. And I looked down and while it was running, it was sinking. Like, I'm watching this thing go out from
further
under me.
Down.
Yes. And I'm sitting in it. So, yeah, y'all can get a good laugh out of that when you see those pictures because I was stuck. 6.5 hours it took us to get out of that bottom. 6.5 hours.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's when I knew I'd lost money on that job.
There's nothing.
That's right. Yeah.
Nothing like the first 4 hours on a 10-minute job.
Are you in trouble? Well, we hope you're not. But just in case you are, we know a good lawyer. Whitney Island here in Hayden, Alabama has law services. Or maybe if you're not from Hayden, I'm sure she'd be happy to hear from you. So check her out at islandlaw.com. We appreciate Whitney and her sponsoring the show.
Dylan's brother, Ethan, bought a property over there pretty close to where we live at. And me and him and Dylan needed to go over there and investigate that place and look and see what's all everywhere, you know. And so we get to the very back corner, and we're carrying a few things. I think Dylan had a shovel, and Ethan had, I forget what he had. But anyway, we're standing there, and we're talking about it and everything, you know, and talking about what a good place it might be to put a stand up back there and everything. Well, all of a sudden, I see Dylan start swiping.
Squirrels.
It was squirrels. Squirrels were just running up. He started swiping, and he just yelled, "Yellow jackets!" Mm. And we all took off running. And I've never seen – I'm 58 years old. This is about 3 years ago. But I've never seen as unrelenting an attack on somebody as those things put on us that day. And so we're chugging it. I mean, just heading back down the hill toward the swamp. You know, we don't care what we land in, where we go. We just want to get out of there. And the shovel's still back there leaned against that fence to this day. We ain't been back over there. I reckon we're scared to death to go back over there.
I've asked
it. Ain't worth it.
And we're going down the hill. You know, it's up on a ridge, and we're going down the hill toward the swamp. And those things, and every once in a while we would stop and check things. They're still on us, you know, 100 yards, 150 yards, 200 yards, and those things are still stinging us. And Dylan got hit about 15 times. Ooh. And I probably had five, Ethan had seven or eight, but I think Dylan was the one standing right on it. They targeted him first and foremost. But we fought those things, and we fought them. And we finally get to where they're not on us anymore. And then we're just slowly making our way back out to the pavement, which we've parked way down that way. So we're walking back down and, calling to the house going, y'all have something to rub on this. Dylan is eat up, you know, so. But anyway, that's the one Bradley mentioned to me earlier. That was a crazy 5 minutes.
Yeah, so. Shovel's still there.
There's
did you do anything with the glove?
I was supposed to say, no, somebody that, lost a glove.
There's a glove laying there that Ethan lost. There's some maybe, I don't know. We may have a shoe or a boot. I don't know.
Did you ever build on it, hunt on it?
No, he's never done anything with that property. It's like 22 acres.
Scared to death.
It's not much.
You know,
he's never done anything.
Yeah, just push you away.
Yeah, he's wanting to buy somewhere else and maybe sell that. But,
with less yellow jackets.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but biggest worst yellow jacket attack I've ever seen. Yeah.
I believe it.
I thought for a second Dylan was going to yell bison.
He likes to run from stuff.
Yeah. I noticed in the video you don't see the bison chasing.
Yeah.
Him, he promises they were right over the hill. Yeah,
and Shelby didn't. I didn't feel like she had it in her to break it, to go over there and see if he was telling the truth or not.
Right. That's right.
There is nothing more motivating to get you to move from where you're at to some other place than a yellow jacket sting.
Yeah. The fastest I've ever ran in my life was yellow jackets.
Was it that day? Is this the encounter or different?
That one or some others. I've had some others with yellow jackets.
The good Lord's design. Fast. I mean, that he designed that. Obviously, that was a design, a defense mechanism, and it works flawlessly. What,
stinging?
Yeah.
It works really good.
It works real good.
It's going to make you.
What good is a
or
wolf?
A water moccasin?
Exactly.
I think you're wading off into some, you know, we got to just trust in God's sovereignty here.
Right.
I'm not saying he made a mistake. I'm just wondering.
I hate to question you, big man. But
he created some things, and one day he'll let us know why he created those things.
And surely they're not going to be in heaven, right?
And wait a minute. We got this too, because I'm just started the Bible over again in Genesis thinking about the flood. That was an opportunity for some of these things to go away.
And stay away.
He did get rid of Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Yeah.
I mean,
we could talk about that. I wonder.
And the Velociraptors, yeah.
Is that when they went away? Do we believe in dinosaurs? Where are we at on this?
No, they're making up those bones they're finding.
You think so?
Yeah, no.
You're a believer?
I'm a believer that they existed, but I'm also a believer that if you look in Scripture, there's some things in there that sound like they're talking about dinosaurs.
Like the beasts of the field?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think it happened when Adam got threw out of the garden. I think
what happened?
I think he got rid of some of the more carnivorous dinosaurs at that point in time. And he's like, y'all, you ain't going to be able to live out here.
Carnivorous?
Yeah.
That's
a
big word.
That's a
big
large
water table.
Well,
I mean.
That's one of those Hayden, Alabama words.
Yeah, I mean, he'll get his phone out too. And then he's really advanced.
Superhero for sure.
But what I love is the carbon dating. You know, so it's so-and-so billion years old, but the Earth is only 10,000 years old. Yeah, that's interesting.
It's funny that you say that. Yesterday at a stop sign in Curry, Alabama, my 10-year-old looks at me and says, Daddy, how in the world does a man say anything lived a billion years ago?
That's a long time ago.
Does he not? Has he never read about Adam and Eve?
He ain't ever read about Adam and Eve.
That's a good point.
Uh-huh.
That's a good point.
There you go.
Let me say this, though. I do believe that God constructed time. And our understanding of time and God's understanding of time are
two different things.
Two totally different things.
There's a verse of that. It says that
His ways are above our ways.
A day is to 1,000 years, or 1,000 years is to a day.
Yeah, I mean, time doesn't. It's irrelevant. So I don't know that we
Wouldn't
know.
Wouldn't that be nice?
It would be. It will be. It will be nice.
That would be nice.
I'm going somewhere where it doesn't matter. Fortunately.
Amen to that.
I might take a lap.
As long as there's no biology.
I don't believe that for a second.
If anything's going to make me run, it's going to be the Holy Spirit.
Are you a pew jumper?
No, I mean,
I'm not
could
saying
be.
There's nothing wrong with it.
He's not a runner either.
I personally am not, but we have individuals that are in our congregation that have been known to.
That's what I'm talking about.
Jumps pews.
I need to come.
Hey,
to
I
church.
Love some that excitement like in church.
Hey,
you know,
get excited.
Yeah, yeah.
It's worth getting excited.
That's
about.
Exactly right.
Yeah, I go to a First Baptist. We sit on our hands
keep
as
it,
much as we can.
Keep it tight.
Yeah, keep it tight.
You don't want to get out of hand.
Yeah.
Can't do that.
Reverence goes along.
No, it's amazing how as times went on, we've started raising our hands a little more. But
there
yeah.
you go. It's okay. Yeah. If you want to raise your hands, raise them.
Yeah,
that's right. That's right.
Get excited. Bradley, tell me another one.
In 2011, I'd been up for several days, going into work, fell asleep. I'll save you a lot of those details, but I was partially ejected out of the truck.
Mm.
Was awake, realized I was paralyzed, all that stuff. I'm holding myself up like this. The door was in my armpit here, and this arm was on top of the truck, right? And when the cops got there, I sat in the truck for a minute waiting for somebody to, because I couldn't get to my phone, whatever. When the cops got there, one of them kept asking me, "What's this in your hair?" I don't know. He's standing right here beside me. And then he'd say, "Is there anything I need to know about in the vehicle?" And I'm like, "Well, there's a couple guns over here."
But I can't get to them right now.
Yeah.
So don't worry.
Well, actually, that's a different story. I was going to shoot a car with one of them because I was tired of waiting. I got my finger on it.
People would not stop.
Nobody would stop.
I remember you telling me.
Yeah, it was awful. I mean, I sat in the truck for probably 10 minutes. Nobody
this is
stopped.
On I-22.
Yeah. I was in the median on I-22. Cars going by both ways. And I done made up my mind. I'm going to shoot a car.
Oh, my goodness.
I was tired of being in the truck. You know, I done knew I was paralyzed, done had that breakdown. But so he says, "Is there anything I need to know?" And I'm like, "Well, there's some guns over here." He says, "Bradley, have you been drinking?" I was like, "No, man, I quit drinking." And then he said something about it. There's no drugs or nothing in here. And I'm like, no, there's no drugs. While I'm holding myself up, he said, "Well, what's this in your hair?" I was like, "Buddy, I don't know.
Can't see it."
"Yeah. If you'll give me a mirror, I'll tell you. But I'd rather get out of this truck." "Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, get in the ambulance. And like I said, I told y'all, my life is a whole series of unfortunate events that has led me to here. I'm not making fun of nobody, okay? I'm handicapped as they come. Pun intended. But y'all didn't laugh at that. But
I'm scared to laugh about handicapped stuff. I'm just going to be honest.
Well,
I'm not trying to.
This paramedic only had so many fingers. I don't know. And I realized this, and now I'm like, oh, what, you know. Anyways, fast forward a week later, roughly, or a few days later, a nurse comes into ICU. My mom's sitting over beside me. I've done been through surgery, staples in my head, a chest tube, all this stuff. And the guy comes in. He's like, hey, man, brought a washcloth, going to wash me off some blood and whatever. And he says, hey, what's this in your hair?
Second time I've been asked. I don't know.
And I'm like, I don't know. Okay, I don't know. But I'm missing a bunch of hair, so we're going to shave my head. We shave my head and get to looking, and it's coconut cake that's in my hair. I had stopped by the house before I went to work. My mom made a coconut cake.
Wow.
And it was coconut cake in my hair that I'm guessing the cop thought was
whatever,
some type of drug. Yeah. Yeah.
Is that where we're at?
Yeah, I hadn't been able to eat coconut cake.
I imagine it probably has a negative connotation, like squirrel jackets and squirrels.
Yeah.
But wait a minute. Wait a minute.
There's a lot to unplug there.
You have a wreck. You have coconut cake in your hair on the scene of the wreck. You're transported to a hospital. You have surgeries and a series of other things. You make it back to a hospital room.
You still
have coconut cake in your hair.
Yes.
How many hours have transpired since this?
Couple of days. I'm in ICU.
Okay. Just don't say what hospital you're in. Right. Please leave it out. I don't want just leave that out.
Yeah.
But yeah, I had to make sure that I was tracking with you on that.
Oh, yeah. You're just right on path there.
There's a lot of bad things that went on, but that is wild.
Yeah.
To me. Sorry.
Lots of wild.
I locked in on that.
Oh, I did too. Like, how are you going to leave that there for days?
And I don't know how much was there, but they shaved my head to put those staples in, you know, which was a whole nother deal because I didn't want the numbing shot. Hey, just go ahead and give me a staple. And let me tell you, that's not the way to go.
No, it's not the way to go. You just had a ton of pain when you could have had one pain.
Yeah. I knew that when that lady brought two big guys in and smashed my face down to hold me still. And then they
should have went with the numbing pain.
Yeah, I was like, give me the shot. Give me the shot. Yeah. And then they didn't even give me the shot. They drizzled it in the cut. Didn't tell me they was going to do that either. Yeah.
I have to know, how did you... I think I know the answer to this, but you said you had a breakdown when you realized that you were paralyzed. Like, did you just go immediately, I can't feel my legs, so I'm paralyzed, or?
No, I knew my back was broke. Like, I knew my back was broke. You know what I mean? And thought I caught a fire. Like, when I moved, my back started burning. Okay. But in my mind, I know my back's broke. I just need to get laid down. So I was going to ease over on top of the truck and just lay down flat. And when I went to move my leg,
they said no.
Yeah. So like this leg, I was driving a 5-speed truck. This leg was laid across both seats. And this leg was still pushing like down here at the clutch, you know? So I tried to move this leg first. And when I did, it didn't move. And I did that and I couldn't feel it.
Bless you, brother.
Yeah.
Bless you,
that
brother.
Was a little bit of a breakdown there.
I guarantee it.
Tell us another one.
All right, we'll talk about my blazing speed again.
Oh.
Church League softball.
I love Church League softball.
I played Church League softball for 2 years. First year that I played, the local league, now this is slow pitch softball, the local league decided that this year we're going to allow players to steal.
In slow pitch softball?
In slow pitch softball. Now, first of all,
interested.
All of us, our thoughts were, this is either the dumbest decision anybody's ever made or it's the smartest. I mean, it's one or the other. So the rule was, when it crosses the plate, you can go. Kind of like they do in the little kids' leagues, you know, and all. Mm-hmm. So,
That's fair.
And so I'm sitting there ready, and that slow pitch goes. And I probably left a little early.
Maybe.
You know, I don't think the umpire caught it. Or the coach of the other team caught it, but I probably left a little early. And so I'm heading to second base, and I mean the dirt is hitting the dugout from my cleats. I'm moving. It was a blur. I really think it was a blur.
60 feet closing.
Right. And I was moving. And so of course, I'm not looking at the catcher. I'm looking at the second baseman. I see he's getting ready to catch the ball. I slid, and the ball was coming in, and I was safe. All right. So that tells you right there the blazing speed worked. Mm-hmm. All right. But I put my hand down, popped up, and as soon as I popped up, realized I was safe, and I was, you know, all excited and everything, the pain started coming into this area of my hand right here. And I'm like, man, that hurts, you know. I played the rest of the game, and you know, it hurt and everything. And so I go to the doctor on Monday, and they x-rayed it, and I broke it. But I was a force to be reckoned with.
There's no doubt.
Yeah. I didn't play very long. There's guys that play church league softball their whole lives, you know. And I played two seasons, and like I said,
retired.
It was two seasons too long.
Was that a boxer's fracture?
It was right there.
That bone right here?
Yeah, right in there.
They call that because that's what.
Oh, that's right. It is. Yeah. And doing that right there.
I do not play church league softball.
I've tried to get.
Oh, I don't anymore. Yeah.
He's an ACL blow waiting to happen.
Yeah. Mm. Pat too. It's just a matter of time for that. I only have two, you know, so.
I'm afraid. Wait a minute, you get one on each or two on one?
The same one.
You still got that other one.
That's what I'm saying. The third, it's just a matter of time for that third one going out.
I don't think you need to try it.
Mm-mm. I'm afraid I'd blow mine too. It's the reason why I don't play.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's the main reason.
I tore cartilage in my knee, but that was from dragging a deer. So
that's different.
Yeah, that wasn't from being athletic.
Man, we drug most of your deer. Don't do that.
Back before the wreck, him and Ethan, I killed my first big deer that I got mounted, and him and Ethan drug that deer. It was at the very back of our property, 500 yards, 600 yards.
Instead we didn't of driving have, back
the
there?
The tractor wouldn't crank. We couldn't get anything to get back there.
You got to get back here and get it.
And how he killed that deer, we will never know
from where the stand was to wild. Where the I could see that much hair, and it was the neck. And I dropped him.
Wow.
He was about 130 yards away through the woods. Nice. I've got some great deer stories, but
we'll have to say they're not all humorous.
I like humorous stories, but, you know, I've got some good other kind. I think my last story today might be one with me and Dylan hunting. So.
Well, I tell you what, let's go ahead. Let's do one and one. And we're going to do something neat in scripture time.
All right.
Something neat.
Pop us one more, Bradley.
You got one more? He can do it again. I can go back and redub it.
Go ahead and tell us what. I'm going to thank y'all for any stories to end with.
I've always been one to, whatever I'm doing, I've always been in competition with my sons. But I was sitting there hunting or waiting on daylight, and it was getting close to daylight, and I was checking the game cameras, which is at our place and up at Dylan's place. And Dylan's got a camera on the road as you drive into his place. Well, I saw where he was driving in that morning. So I said, okay, Dylan's hunting this morning too. So it'll be fun. We'll text each other while we're hunting, you know. And he hadn't seen anything all morning. And then all of a sudden he texted and he said, all of a sudden I've seen three bucks real close together and I just shot a pretty good 8-point. Everything's competition. I knew at that point. I had
eight or better.
I had to do eight or better.
Yeah.
And it had to outmeasure.
Yeah, of course.
It's got to outmeasure. And so, but I told him, I said, all right, man, good job, you know. And he said, I'm going to wait a while before I climb down. I'm going to just kind of watch the woods for a while. And the deer had ran off, so he didn't see it fall, but he knew he got it. And so we're sitting there, and about 20, 30 minutes goes by. And I look in the direction that all the deer had gone that morning. The deers that were chasing, so there was a hot doe that went that way. There was another doe that came up that she left. So it was all to the front right, downwind from me. Mm-hmm. All right. And so I'm sitting there, and I see movement coming straight up, basically coming to the scrape line that I had the wicks hung out on. And I could tell instantly that it was a pretty good buck. And I'm sitting there on the shooting sticks, and I'm getting ready, and I'm like, you know how you pray while you're sitting there.
Oh,
Lord, please let him come on. Lord, please let him just step out. Mm-hmm. Lord, please. You start promising things. You know, yeah. But you know, you're just excited. You know, this is the deer. And I got to beat Dylan. You know, got to beat Dylan. So anyway, he finally steps out just enough. I put one in between the shoulder and the neck, drops him in his tracks. And Dylan had texted me about killing that buck. So then I text back, and I just killed one bigger. I went down and took a picture of the deer and sent it to him, and he said, oh, you killed a really good one. I said, yeah, I killed a really good one.
See, it was bigger than
it was bigger than Dylan. It was my biggest deer ever, yeah.
How big was it?
135.
That's solid.
Yeah, but I've never killed one.
Hey, that's a good buck, man. I don't think I've ever killed one
that big. Have any of y'all ever rattled a deer in? You ever done that?
I have, but not many. Two or three.
So this was before my wreck. Guy tells me, I've just started hunting with him. He's like, yeah, we're going to go rattle a deer in. We're in Alabama.
Right.
You don't do, you know.
Right.
Oh, I'm telling you, we can. We're going to. Well, we slip off in the bottom. He starts rattling. Like, that's a whole story in itself. But he starts rattling. And this deer, he's sitting from, I don't know, a little bit further than me to you. And he's looking this way, and I'm looking this way. And this deer runs between us. And he shoots it. It was so close, blood splattered on my boots.
Uh-uh.
Yeah. Like, he rattled this deer in, it come in from behind us. And, yeah, this is, yeah. So, a couple of, maybe 2 weeks after that, 3 weeks after that, something, we're riding around in the PM hours, you know, just
looking,
hanging out, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Just mm-hmm. gravel roads and see an absolute giant. Like, I mean, one to talk about, cross the road. Well, when it crossed the road, this is, I don't know, 1 o'clock in the morning, something like that. We decide we need to be in there in the morning. You know, that's where we're going to go.
Yeah, that's a pretty good indicator.
I would go.
So we made some phone calls, got us a ride lined up. You know,
oh,
yeah, going. It was one of those situations.
I got you.
It really didn't need to be. A few short hours later, we're sneaking into this place. There's a fresh clear cut over here, and there's a pine thicket right here. There's a green field and a shooting house, all right? We didn't know that when we went in there, but we're sitting in this, on the edge of this clear cut in the pine thicket. We're sitting there, and he's like, you want to rattle at daybreak? And when I rattle, you know, be looking in this clear cut, he's telling me all this stuff, and I'm like, yeah, sure. Because I believed him now, you know, like I'm geared up. Yeah. We fishing kill this deer. We see a flashlight coming in, but we lose the flashlight. So we think he's done went off. You know what I mean? Yeah. He's not where.
Past the hill.
Yeah. Plus, we can't see the shooting house at that time. Just as it starts to break daylight, I'm talking about it's barely, you can barely see. He hits a rattling horn. Sat there for a minute. He hit him again. And that second time he hit him, that deer stands up in that clear cut. And we see it. And as we're situating, it's coming. He's like, just wait, because it's out there. And I'm like, it's 150, 200 yards, you know. As we're sitting there, we're watching this deer throw his head up, whatever. Boom! Shot goes off. Deer disappears. We look at each other. We have got to go. We've got to go right now. So we crawled as fast as we could possibly baby crawl out of there. And I don't know if the dude killed the deer or not, but we sure did. But we was in there and had rattled this deer up for this fella.
Rattled him up.
Watched it stand up, and he shot it.
Did not think that's where that story was going.
Yeah.
Didn't get it. We seen it, and he shot. We get out.
He had the chance.
Yeah.
Whether he killed or not, that's a whole other story.
It was
a big one.
It was a big one. It was a lot bigger than that 8-point I got on the wall. It was a big one. And he shot, and I don't know if he killed it or not. I don't even know who. We was way back off in the country.
We'll never know.
Yeah, probably not.
Unless somebody makes a
comment. I hope I never know.
It was me, and I got it.
Yeah.
I'm the boy you rattled that deer up for.
Yeah. Hit subscribe.
Yeah, that's right. Something neat.
Oh, is it something neat?
Something neat.
I would do the drum roll, but we ain't supposed to.
Yeah, don't hit the drum roll.
Let me get it.
Yeah, let me move for you.
Oh, you're good.
All right, I'm not going to move.
This is week two of Something Neat here on the podcast. Shane has got truly something neat here.
I have, would you like to guess what this, would you, let's describe it. So it's a glass bottle.
Audio only.
The glass bottle.
Glasses on.
And inside the glass bottle.
Shotgun shell.
Is a shotgun shell. A 20 gauge shotgun shell.
Birdshot.
As well as.
That comes out of a turkey carol, doesn't it?
My man.
What?
Bradley has guessed it. This is the gizzard contents of my first turkey.
Well, wow. I'll be. Well, he had a lot of gravel in his craw, didn't he?
He had all kind of, look, he did have all kind of gravel in his craw. And the turkey shell, I mean, the shell's in there because I dropped it in there on the way here this morning. It was an accident.
And then what is the glass? Just,
it won't come out.
This is an old ink bottle that I found.
Well, if you turn it upside down, the other stuff will probably come.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I would get, I could
see
that.
Ink bottle?
Yeah, that's an old ink bottle.
So that's not,
well, that's cool. Well, that is truly something.
I forgot they had.
No, that's not the shell in there.
Yeah. That's how they crush them seeds up.
Yep.
Well, Dylan has walked in. Do you want to be part of Scripture Time, or you just want to hang out over there?
Yeah, come on.
Let me let Dylan sit down here.
I'm hurt. Or maybe he can probably just get right there, pull a chair on the backside.
Sit down.
Has your ears been burning?
Yeah, I figured they done caught on fire a time or two.
You going to roll in, Shane, a chair right there on that side?
Roll in.
Dylan, yeah, he can get in behind
while,
Dylan.
While Shane rolls in.
This is interesting.
Dylan texted me and asked me about coming on the podcast here. I said, yeah, sounds like a great time. And the response I get, I'm not real sure how to feel about it. He says, break a leg.
I promise. I didn't even think about that.
You're
in church.
I didn't. And then even Dad like cracked up and he was like, okay, funny. He's telling me break a leg.
I did a laughy emoji.
Yeah, he did laugh, but I still didn't get it. And then all of a sudden I'm going down the road and I'm like, oh, that's why. So
Rachel Chaffin told me that first Sunday I preached at our new church. Yeah, she's like, break a leg. And I was like, really?
Really?
Really? Like, is that what we had to do?
Is that where we're at?
Yeah. Appreciate that. Good friendship there.
Well, we're going to go into Scripture Time here. I'm going to read it out. Now, this is your sermon for tomorrow. It's coming out of this premise. So Luke 9:23. And he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. There's the text. I'm going to let you take off since you've been studying and thinking about this.
So the biggest thing, the example for what I've got tomorrow in short form, because it's what, 40 minutes tomorrow, whatever, you know. But when at that time, the Roman Empire was the big one, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And they perfected their corporate punishment was crucifixion, right? And as you would walk down the streets, you would see people hanging on crosses.
Mm.
They put it out there so that people could see it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if you've ever seen, it was a symbolism, if you ever seen somebody that was walking with the cross beam, they wasn't coming back. They wasn't coming back from what they was going to do. And what really spoke to me in this when I read that, when I heard it, was the fact that I love the Scripture, have always loved the Scripture. But when it hit me that you're not coming back, daily you need to deny yourself, pick up that cross beam, and you march for Jesus, you walk for Him, you let people see Jesus in you.
Mm.
And you're not coming back. There's no turning back once you put that crossbeam on.
Yeah.
And I don't know, man. It just spoke to me. This
key word there is daily. You have to make that decision daily. You can't just make that decision now and say, okay, it's going to be that way. Every morning when you get up, the devil says, all right, now, remember the fun things you're going to do today. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to daily do it. And I fail a lot in that, I know. But You know, I just know that's a big, that's a key thing there daily.
No doubt.
They got good words, don't they? I pray to, I pray every day to just to die to myself and live for Him. And I just, like Dad said, you have to do it daily, but also the symbolism of picking up your cross. Like, they didn't come back. They weren't going to come back. That there was no choice. So as when you pick up your cross at that point, you have to make it, you have to make the choice for there not to be a choice.
Right.
If that makes sense. Yeah. You have to make a choice for not for there no longer to be a choice.
Mm. Right. I got a question.
Please. I don't know that we can hear you.
I got a question.
With his deep, smooth voice.
Barry Manilow over there.
Yep.
What is your cross?
Great question.
Do you want to go first?
No, I'm waiting for you.
You waiting for me?
You've been preaching longer than I have. I'm waiting for you.
Well, that's your death in this setting. Your cross is where you die. Deny yourself is the first one. So I think you're really, your flesh is what you're,
you're putting it up on the cross. That is symbolic of picking up your flesh and saying, or saying, I'm dying to this today. Mm-hmm, that is the burden. It isn't because we're gonna look at it as closer. A burden.
I don't know that we're getting you.
Oh, you got me.
I don't know.
100% got me. So we're looking at it and we're saying that it is your burden. It is a burden that you're going to have to take up daily.
Let's be specific here. I went a different way. Can we make that specific? What is a burden?
A burden to me is something that is going to take work to carry. I mean, you're going to know it's there first and foremost. It's not ever going to be easy to wear.
Christianity. I mean, I hate to put it that way, really, but for Christ to go and die was a burden to Him. You know, I mean, in a way, you look at it like that.
Yeah.
Bear one another's burdens. What is that? What are we bearing? Difficulties?
The difficulties, the trials.
Help them with it, I guess, would be a way to say it.
The temptations that we all face. I mean, we talk a lot about men and needing to be able to lift one another up. And all of us sitting here today, and it may not be men listening, but all of us here are men. We all can relate to things that we carry on a daily basis,
right.
Things that we fight against, the flesh and the just the difficulties of being a man in 2025. I mean, it's...
What about 2026?
Yeah, what about this year?
Oh, I'm sorry.
is it any different now?
It was worse in 2028.
Was it?
Yeah, it's a little worse this year.
So back to your original question.
Yeah.
What's the cross?
What is putting ourselves up on the cross? I think that's anything of my flesh. That's just where I'm at on this right now. This is not my text I'm studying for tomorrow. But that's my flesh, myself, my personal desires, apart from the Holy Spirit's, what He's given me. And that's what, because what does Philip want to do? Usually not great things.
Well, we want to have an easy life. Is that
yeah.
not? I want it easy. I want it to happen.
You don't
want to
suffer?
I don't want to suffer.
That's my text is about.
I don't want to go through difficult times. That's what the flesh wants.
Yeah.
But that doesn't create stronger men in the church. That doesn't create a more solidified unit as a family. Easy times don't always help you out the way that the flesh thinks, or I guess the way your mind has convinced you that if I had it easier, I would be better for it. But I don't know that that's the case.
I completely agree with what you just said, because I get asked the question often about being in this wheelchair, right? And yeah, it's no good. Like it's a whatever.
It's a burden.
It's a burden. But they can answer this. They could, because they know me. They've known me like man, just like a little brother, yeah. You know, and like a second dad to me for a long time. But if I hadn't never been put in this situation, I would likely never be preaching at a church. You probably wouldn't have never heard me get up. I'm not saying I wouldn't have got saved, but I probably wouldn't have never got up in front of a church and told my testimony. I probably wouldn't have never been sitting on this podcast sharing with you about what message I'm going to preach tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
It just probably wouldn't ever happen. So I agree with that for sure.
And I love the last part. You know, I'm hung up on follow me right now. Mm-hmm. Been hung up on follow me for a little bit, but that's key.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And what does that mean, follow me? To think, to speak, to act as Jesus acted through the power of the Holy Spirit. You're not doing that without that. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you. You may do it for 5 minutes. You may put on a show for a little time while people are watching. But to truly, day in and day out, pick up your cross, you've got to have the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you.
Do you have a cross if you don't? If you've not been saved, you don't have a cross. You've not died to the flesh.
Right. There's not a cross.
I don't know. That,
right.
I don't think. Did you think I was arguing about that?
No.
I was thinking, wait a minute. How did I miscommunicate point, yeah. that so poorly?
He just thought of that point.
Okay. Yeah. I was thinking, oh, Lord, what did I say?
Because I thought the same way.
Yeah. No. You've not been on a cross mm-hmm. yet. Because the flesh is still alive.
Flesh still living. Yeah.
And the weird thing is the flesh, even after you're saved.
It's still there.
What Paul said, I still do. And I think we can all agree that he was saved when he wrote that. But he said, you know, I still don't do the things that I want to do.
I find a law.
That's why you have to daily do it.
And fighting it. Still has the thorn. That thing. You know what I mean? That's, so there's still going to be there. But the moment of where you were regenerated and made new, a new creation, was at the moment of belief.
The follow me, to me, is part of tomorrow, but the follow me is like I was saying, you're not coming back. Jesus didn't come back. You know what I'm saying?
He's not going to take you on a loop turning lefts.
Yeah. That's right. No left turns.
A bunch of left turns.
He went straight up Golgotha's hill. Now, granted, he rose again 3 days later,
mm-hmm.
but
that's follow. That's a whole different bag.
Exactly.
That's another sermon. Yeah, sermon there. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, and whoever will loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. I want to say one thing about that. For a long time, I didn't understand, and I'm not saying that I've perfected the understanding today, but for a long time, I mistook that, and I thought that it was really a loss. Like, you were really giving up something to lose your life or to give your life to Christ. There's no loss in that. That is 100% gain move to just submit, surrender, and ask Jesus Christ to take your life.
Amen.
And I think that I just want to read it one more time. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But that's true. If you want to keep your flesh, if you want to keep being the king of your own kingdom, you are going to lose 100%. But whoever loses his life by giving it to Jesus for my sake, he is the one who will save it. And you'll have that life eternally with him by giving your life to Jesus Christ. And if you've not done that, as always, we want you to do that. We want you to give your life to Christ. You can do that right now through prayer, just a simple prayer. Just
the greatest thing a human being could ever do.
100%. And just ask Jesus right now in prayer with your heart, truly meaning it, to be your Lord and Savior, to be the Lord of your life, to forgive you of your sins, and he'll do that. And then you will have this. That's when this is possible. Any other thoughts on that? Anything you want to add to it? Feeling good about it? At peace with it? Throttle, you at peace with it?
I'm good.
Dylan?
I still don't know if he's peaceful back there. I think he just clenched.
It's a little different.
He's like
he's out of sorts.
I just can't agree with what Philip says.
Let me argue with Philip for a minute.
I'm glad we didn't argue. There was no contention there. I just thought I was making up the contention, I guess. Well, I've enjoyed it.
I have too.
Yeah, it's been a long one.
This was fun.
It's really been
Bill, I'm glad you could show up. I mean, we appreciate
well,
that.
Well, he was here the whole time. He just didn't know it.
Yeah, he has been.
That sounds about right.
No, that's
all. Will you send that to me for reviewing, by the way?
Sorry.
It's all good stuff.
You should have been here.
That's right.
Well, I appreciate it. That's going to do it today here in Winfield, Alabama for the Hayden, Alabama podcast. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
I'm Bradley.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Dylan.
We'll see y'all next week.
Coming on in hot.